What shapes a person who will break through one glass ceiling after another? For Kamala Harris, it began with a 5-foot-tall force of nature named Shyamala Gopalan, who arrived in Berkeley from India at 19 with nothing but ambition and a fierce sense of justice. This brilliant scientist would publish over 100 papers on breast cancer research and raise nearly $5 million in grants, but her most lasting contribution might be the wisdom she imparted to her daughters. You may be the first to do many things, but make sure you are not the last. Shyamala met Donald Harris, a Jamaican economics student, at a gathering of Black students in 1962. They married a year later, naming their daughters after Indian mythology, Kamala meaning lotus flower, and Maya referring to divine power. Baby Kamala reportedly demanded freedom from her stroller during civil rights protests, her parents pushing through Berkeley's politically charged streets where the Black Panthers emerged and anti-war movements flourished. But the marriage couldn't survive. By the time Kamala was 5, her parents had separated, divorcing 3 years later. While Donald became Stanford's first tenured Black economist, Kamala remained closest to her mother, rarely mentioning her father in later years. When Shyamala moved the family to Montreal for a research position, 12-year-old Kamala adapted by forming a dance troupe and welcoming her abused friend Wanda into their home, an act of compassion that would echo through her future career. On Election Day 1964, 2 weeks after Kamala's birth, California voters approved Proposition 14 by 65%, legalizing housing discrimination. The same day, Willie Brown Jr., a 30-year-old Black man who had escaped Jim Crow, Texas, won a state assembly seat. This contradiction defined California, progressive on the surface, resistant underneath. When Berkeley integrated its schools in 1968, young Kamala boarded a bus to Thousand Oaks Elementary in fall 1970. A half century later, during the first Democratic presidential debate, she confronted Joe Biden about his past work with segregationist senators opposing busing. There was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools, she said, pausing for effect, and that little girl was me. The line was carefully orchestrated, immediately followed by campaign photos and merchandise. Though the moment only briefly boosted her standing, it demonstrated her ability to transform personal narrative into political power. She understood what many politicians miss. People remember stories that make them feel something, not policy positions. At Howard University, Harris found her tribe among young, gifted Black students, protesting apartheid and interning for Senator Alan Cranston. Howard's message that students could be anything stuck with her. After law school at UC Hastings, she entered Oakland's Alameda County Prosecutor's Office in 1990 during record murder rates. At 25, handling misdemeanors, she displayed what her supervisor called a different confidence, energetic, focused, learning strategy during lunch sessions. Then came Willie Brown in 1994. The California Assembly Speaker was 30 years her senior, but they shared drive and intelligence. Columnist Herb Kane mentioned Harris as Brown's new steady. He gave her a BMW and state board appointments. The relationship ended after his 1995 mayoral victory. Though Brown opened early doors, Harris moved forward and stopped discussing him publicly. She learned an essential lesson. Accept help when offered, but never let anyone define your trajectory. By 1998, she moved strategically to San Francisco's district attorney's office, quickly rising to lead the career criminal division. 3 months into her tenure as San Francisco's district attorney, Officer Isaac Espinoza was killed by a man with an AK-47. California law allowed capital punishment for cop killers. The police demanded it. Political allies expected it. But Harris had campaigned on a pledge to never seek the death penalty. At Espinoza's funeral, attended by thousands, Senator Dianne Feinstein publicly rebuked her. This is not only the definition of tragedy, it's the special circumstance called for by the death penalty law. Many officers stood and applauded while Harris remained seated. For months afterward, officers turned their backs when they saw her. She didn't budge. For those who want this defendant put to death, let me say simply that there can be no exception to principle. When principle collided with pressure, she held firm. She rejected being labeled either tough or soft on crime, calling her approach smart on crime. She created Back on Track, diverting first-time nonviolent offenders into job training. She tackled elementary school truancy, later championing controversial legislation allowing criminal charges for parents of habitually truant children. Civil libertarians criticized her, but she maintained, "I just want these kids to go to school, and I'm prepared to be the bad guy." When Harris became California's attorney general in 2011, the state faced a devastating foreclosure crisis. Unemployment in the Central Valley exceeded 16%, over 10% of homeowners were seriously delinquent on mortgages, and nearly a third owed more than their homes were worth. State attorneys general were negotiating with five major lenders, but Harris found the investigation incomplete and California's proposed share inadequate. Despite pressure from the Obama administration, even from her brother-in-law Tony West at the Justice Department, she refused to compromise. She found an ally in Delaware's Attorney General Beau Biden. While Obama pushed for a quick deal before his reelection, Harris skipped meetings and visited Stockton, meeting families devastated by the crisis. On February 9, 2012, she secured an $18.4 billion debt relief deal for California while preserving the state's ability to investigate banker crime. She then championed the California Homeowner Bill of Rights, personally lobbying legislators. Senator Mark Lino credited her. The whole game changed when Kamala got involved. The legislation banned robo-signing and required clear foreclosure notices, a victory for hundreds of thousands of struggling homeowners. Her presidential campaign started strong, 20,000 at her Oakland kickoff, millions raised, positioning herself for the people. But campaigns reveal character under pressure. She backtracked on positions, struggled with fundamental questions, and couldn't break Biden's grip on black voters. Internal conflicts plagued the campaign, staff fighting, flat messaging, excessive drama. Money ran out. On December 3, 2019, Harris ended it. Yet this failure might have been her making. When Biden selected her as his running mate, she reached out to high school friend Wanda Kagan, asking permission to share Wanda's abuse story. At an October rally in Jacksonville, she danced in the rain to Mary J. Blige's Work That, smiling and laughing. The 15-second clip garnered 2.3 million views. On the anniversary of deceased staffer Tyrone Gale's death, she texted his widow about a rally sign reading, "Do it for Tyrone." These moments revealed something essential. Beneath the prosecutor's toughness lived someone capable of genuine empathy and joy. This was Kamala's way, ambitious and strategic, yes, but guided by her mother's wisdom that breaking barriers means ensuring others can follow. She became living proof that the daughter of immigrants could rise to the second highest office, not despite her complex identity, but because of it.